Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail bro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black on black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail bro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, yeah, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, nbpp.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
In the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living, should I blast myself? I'm
gotta be important, even worse, I'm black, my stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro, pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a hero. Get it back to the kids who the hell cares, one less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship them dope and let them deal a brother, give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said, two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brother, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes, learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how I'm supposed to be, how can it never take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids, but then changed. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Disgrace the racist, we under, I wonder what it takes to make this one better place, let's erase the waste. Take the evil out the people, they'll be acting right. It's both black and white, it's both a crack tonight. And the only time we feel is when we kill each other. If they heal, so we real time to heal each other. And if all the things ever sick, we ain't ready to see a black president. It ain't a secret, don't conceal the fact. The penitentiary stacked and it's filled with black. But some things will never change. Try to show another way, but you're staying in the dope game. Now tell me what's a mother to do. Being real don't appeal to the brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made a cheat today,
but you made it in a sleazy way. Selling crack to the kid,
I gotta get paid.
Hey, but that's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. Just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Damn, yeah.
Oh, come on, oh,
come on, come on.
That's just the way it is.
The way it is.
Things will never be the same.
Yeah, the same. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
We gotta make a change. Time for us as a people to start making some changes. Let's change the way we eat, let's change the way we live, and let's change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive. And still I see no changes, can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East, instead of war on poverty. They got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did a crime I ain't have to do, but now I'm back with the back, giving it back to you. Don't let them jack you up, back you up, crack you up, and put smack you up. You gotta learn to hold your own. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But tell the cops I can't touch this. I don't trust this. When they try to rush, I bust this. That's the sound number two. You say it ain't cool. My mama didn't raise no fool. And as long as I stay black, I gotta stay strapped. And I never get to lay back, cause I always gotta worry about the payback. Some fuck that I roughed up way back, coming back after all these years. Right, that.
That's the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Something will never change.
Dada cover my face, calling me la ba da. Biggie man, we know the way Abada. Let me tell me, man is gone, what's it gone? G-Wagon, all the Bentley, thick as them, ride the whip. I no fee, die for nothing. My nigga, what's it gone? G-Wagon, all the Bentley, thick as them, ride the whip. I no fee, die for nothing. Make you no say anything when you do, them must commend it.
I can't come and keep myself.
Anything when they do, I they try to do on my way.
I can't come and keep myself.
Plenty, 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 so far we be this. Just to make sure money day. But my people then go say, I know one buy, I know one die, I know one payment. I want enjoy, I want chop life, I want buy motor, I want build house, I still want donut. Tell me, my nigga, what you come? G-Wagon. All the Bentley, pick your step, ride the whip, I no fee, die for nothing. My nigga, what's it gonna be? G-Wagon, all the Bentley, pick your step, ride the whip, I no fee. Different things them happening, schemes and packaging. In a one night for shows I'm juggling. Flow like the ocean, my boat I'm paddling. Cherishing a fella, that's my bro, my family. Rose in dream. When it comes to money, I dey concentrate. Make I tell you straight, you are not my mate. If you be commission, I be head of state. But my people then go say, I know one buy, I know one die, I know one payment. I want enjoy, I want chop life, I want buy motor, I want build house, I still want donut. Tell me, money. What's it gonna be? G-Wagon, all the Bentley, stick your step, ride the whip, I no fee, die for nothing. My nigga, what's it gonna be? G-Wagon, all the Bentley, stick your step, ride the whip, I no fee, die for nothing. Oh, no, I fall now.
From the future, don't know what I'm thinking of. turn it up.
I ain't leave you leaking just for reaching. Ain't no drinking out my cup.
All the yellow, oh yeah, Slim, she Barbie doll, babe. She got pregnant for my partner, so I had to fuck her back. She was with another rapper, hold up, I can't talk.
RBGs. You know what I mean? It's war. You know what I mean? Yo, Stick. I mean, shit be real on the block. Pigs be out there, occupied army. RBGs, it's a takeover, not a makeover. Yeah. The cops stop you just because you black, that's war. When you through the system for your prince, that's war. When they call my hood a drug zone, that's war. Slumlord charging you for rent, that's war. Why they so rich and we poor, that's war. If you young and black, you sell crack, that's war. The White House is the rock house, that's war. George Bush coming out his mouth, that's war. Chilling on the corner with your gang, that's war. Popo do the same damn thing, that's war. When they murdered Amadou Diallo, that's war. Marching in the streets is a strategy of war. Knowing self-defense is a strategy of war. Soldiers try to link with other soldiers in the war. Revolutionaries got to know the art of war. War, what about hip-hop? Use that. Matter of fact, fuck a rap battle. What about a gap battle? Let's take it to the beast and see which cat tattle. Is it Kiss versus Beans or P versus Ho? What about y'all real niggas against the 5-0? This is M1, DPs, don't you forget. Cause you can talk, 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 but that don't mean shit. I ain't gotta pop the top to see where your brains went. This rap shit is way bigger than entertainment. It's the people versus the pigs when it all goes down. It's not pop versus big, it's who's getting the power. The power ain't money, dog, it's self-determination. Like taking hot and making it the real people station, that's war. Know what I mean? Yeah. Rap war, whatever war. You live a fast life, more or less, more so, it's still war. Dead Prez, the People Radio. Yeah. Sit down, get down, get down. RBGZ, biatch.
You are now listening to
Negro stuff.
That's right.
Revolution.
That's right.
Is the solution.
That's right.
No more Negro stuff.
That's right.
Or we should say in Ebonic, enough Negro stuff. What is it? Enough Negro stuff. Revolution is the solution. And what is revolution? The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that revolution is complete constructive change. What is revolution? Complete constructive change. He teaches us that revolution is, again, complete constructive change. You start at one point, and you must go, it is said, 360 degrees. The Bible puts it this way, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And in the beginning you ruled, black man. In the beginning you ruled, black woman. So in order for a revolution to take place, complete constructive change, you must be placed back at the pinnacle of rulership, back at the pinnacle of civilization. Again, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. Malcolm told us, Minister Malcolm X, the Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Brother Omar Wale, as he was the national spokesman of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Malcolm X said, a revolution is bloody. A revolution is what?
Bloody.
A revolution is bloody. Malcolm said, a revolution knows no compromise. A revolution uproots and overturns everything that gets in its path. He said, why, if you knew what a revolution was, some of you would get back in the alley. He said, why, if you knew what a revolution was, some of you, well, you wouldn't even use that word, Malcolm said, in your vocabulary. And he repeats, he said, a revolution is bloody. Oh, yes, it is, he said. There can be no revolution unless there is bloodshed. There must be bloodshed in order to change the economic system. There must be bloodshed in order to change the political system. There must be bloodshed in order to change the academic and educational system. There must be bloodshed in order to change the religious systems of the world and the religious order that is in place today. There must be bloodshed. Every one of you under the sound of my voice went through a period where mother had to experience bloodshed. When we look at it, our head was at the top inside of mother's womb, is that right? And our feet were at the bottom. But before we could come to birth, a revolution had to take place. And the baby had to go through this revolution, a turn in the womb of mother, so that the head moved to the mouth of the womb and the feet turned upward away from the mouth of the womb. And once the revolution took place, and once there was bloodshed, then the baby's head could do what is called crown. But the baby's head cannot crown unless a revolution takes place. And you, black man and woman, cannot wear the crown of freedom, justice, and equality. You cannot wear the crown of liberation unless a revolution takes place. And unless there is some bloodshed. Once the baby's head crowns, then at a point, at a stage, the baby is able to forge its way into the manifest light of the sun. But a revolution must take place. Again, revolution is complete
destruction.
Everybody say it. Don't be afraid of to say it. A revolution is what?
Complete destruction.
Now, that was almost everybody. Now, let me hear everybody this time. A revolution is
complete.
Some of you sitting there looking at me like a old nine on the law. You scared to even say the word revolution. Your wig is crooked. Your weave is in your eye. Your Jerry curl is dripping on the table behind you. You're afraid to say that revolution means complete constructive change. You want a change in Harlem. You want a change in Brooklyn, in the Bronx. You want a change in New Jersey, in Philly, in Los Angeles, in Alabama, in Mississippi, in Nigeria, in Ghana, in South Africa, in the Congo. But before a change can take place in the world, a change must take place in you and in me, black man and black woman. There can be no change in the world until a change takes place in us. You can't be the same old Negro expecting the world to change. Some of you have been to every forum in Harlem, every forum in Brooklyn, every forum in New York City. You've been to every forum. You have every tape in your library. As many of you have every book and some books that some of the others may not have even heard of. And though you have all of this, we are yet in the same condition. Many of you have not made a commitment. You just come. You just like to be entertained. You just like to leave saying so-and-so sure did rap. Did you hear how he laid it down? Did you read such and such a book? Do you have such and such a tape? You should come to my house and see my wall. I got everything on the wall, but I ain't got a goddamn thing on the wall. This is the condition of the so-called American Negro. The so-called American Negro in the 21st century is a new kind of Negro. He's a Negro and she's a Negro that wears kente cloth. He's a new Negro and she's a new Negro that will wear mud cloth, that will wear cowrie shell, that will celebrate Kwanzaa, that will quote everybody that you can quote. Malcolm said, Fanon said, Garvey said, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad said, but a new Negro is a Negro that looks for every excuse to integrate with the white man under the sun. You want to march with them. You want to do what they call picnic with them when you don't even know what picnicking really means. You want to learn how to be a socialist with them, how to be a communist with them, how to be a Muslim with them, how to join the faggot federation with them, and be sissies with them, and be queers with them, and be lesbians with them. You want a brotherhood and a sisterhood and an otherhood with white folks any way you can. So many of us have not joined any organization. You're just the event junkies who just come out, and then when it's time to vote, even though you got on all your mud clothes, all of your kente cloth, all of your African clothes, you will see many of you in line voting for Gore, voting for Bush, in line, enough Negro stuff. Revolution is the only solution. You were voting for Gore. Some of you Negroes were really hurt that Gore didn't win. Negroes cried. Crying crocodile tears, snotting and boogers everywhere, cause Gore didn't win. Talking stupid talk. Bush stole the election. He stole the election. Nigga, that should tell you that for a long time the white man wouldn't even let you vote. Now the cracker lets you vote but won't even count your damn vote. But you still want to be the white man's nigga in the 21st century. Enough Negro stuff. Revolution is the only solution. You need a revolution of your mind. You need a revolution of your heart. You need a revolution of your spirit. And a Negro that can claim to be black can be claimed to be African and get in line and vote. One of two crackers is out of their mind. One devil is better than another devil. One Satan is better than another Satan. One Lucifer is better than another Lucifer. There's no difference, Malcolm said. And we paraphrase him and bring him right on down to the modern time. There's no difference in Gore and Bush. No difference in the Democratic devil and the Republican devil. They're both devils. Malcolm said there's no difference in the Democrat and the Dixiecrat. There's no difference in the Southern white man and the Northern white man. Except in the South, they'll shoot you 13 times, and in the North, they'll shoot you 41 times. The only difference in the Northern cracker and the Southern cracker is that the Northern cracker speaks with a Northern accent and the Southern cracker speaks with a Southern drawl. But a cracker is a cracker is a cracker is a cracker. Enough Negro stuff. Revolution is the only solution. You need, we need complete constructive change. Negro intellectuals don't want to move the way Dr. J is moving. Negro intellectuals don't want to move the way Dr. Maulana Karenga is moving. Negro intellectuals don't want to move the way Dr. Malefi Asante is moving, or Dr. Wade Noble, or Dr. Patricia Newton, or Dr. Francis Kress Welsing. Negro intellectuals still in the hip pocket of the white man.
Right.
We need a complete constructive, what?
Change.
A complete constructive change. Revolution is the only solution. You must arm yourself. Some of you ready to run out of here now. It's too radical for black people to have guns. But when the white man has the National White Rifle Association, nobody calls that radical. But when black people talk about getting guns, that's radical. It's just a club when white folks have guns. It's called a rifle club. It's called a rifle association.
Teach, brother, teach.
Huh? And some of you got guns. But you got guns for black. You hate black. Oh, yes, you do. You get into an argument, you say, nigga, I'll kill you. Nigga, I'll blow your brains out. Nigga, I'll pour hot water on you. Nigga, I'll dump starch on you. Nigga, I'll pour hot pinto beans on you, nigga. But when the white man comes, you can hear a rat pee on cotton. Negro won't say a word. Your gun won't shoot when the white man comes. But you'll shoot each other. You're a big rapper gangster. You'll kill big and small. You'll risk your own life to get in, to blow him away. You'll kill Tupac Shakur on one of the busiest thoroughfares in the world, in Las Vegas, Nevada, where there are lights everywhere and cameras everywhere. You will risk sliding up to the car to kill your brother Tupac Shakur because you claim you're a gangster, but you don't kill four crackers who shut down brother Amadou Diallo 41 times. Whether I'm suggesting it or not, it's still something that we think about. And if we're not thinking about, it's something that we should at least dream about, if nothing else. No more. Enough. Negro stuff. It's revolution. And revolution is the only solution. Before it's over, you're going to have to fight this crap. Negroes from the Congressional Black Caucus voting against Sister Asada Shakur. You even got an old Negro on the Congressional Black Caucus, a Negro named Bobby Rush from Illinois, who used to be a member of the original Black Panther Party. Here's a Negro that used to be a Black Panther, a member of the Congressional Black Caucus. But when House Resolution 254 came on the floor, Bobby Rush, former Black Panther, wouldn't vote for Sister Asada Shakur against the no-good bitch in New Jersey. That's what I call her. The no-good bitch in New Jersey, Christine Whitman. The last time I said that at the memorial of Brother Kwame Ture, do you know I had a group of sisters to come to me and say to me, you should never call any woman a bitch. And they argued with me all evening over calling Christine Whitman a bitch. I didn't call a woman a bitch. I called a dog a dog. I called a bitch a bitch. And if you're a rapper, if you want to call somebody a bitch, then you should call the real bitch a bitch in your rap lyrics and stop calling the black woman out of her name. But you don't have the heart as a rapper to call the white woman a bitch. You don't have the heart as a rapper to call the white woman a hoe. You don't have the heart to talk about blowing the white man's brains out. But you got the heart to talk about it in all of your lyrics. When you're talking about yourself, when you're talking about your own people. Enough Negro stuff. Revolution is the only solution. Revolution is the solution. And revolution is complete constructive change. You ain't got no revolution if you have change. You just have change. You worried now that Jesse got caught. Some Negroes running around crying. It's not even anything we're going to spend a lot of time on. but he is a Negro. And when I was doing battle for our people, crushing crackers everywhere, this is a Negro that called the white folks up. He was on just about every television network. He was in just about every newspaper condemning me for revolutionary talk and action and black power ideology against white folks. But now that same Negro sneaking and creeping, that same Negro, now we understand why he defended Clinton against Monica Lewinsky so hard. He's right there in the White House with his woman, not his wife, understanding Clinton and Lewinsky because he had Karen at his side while he's at the White House and left Jackie alone at home. No good nigga. But these are the boot-licking Negroes that you look up to.
That's right.
Slick-headed Negro running around dripping Jerry Curl all over the street, compromising with the Ku Klux Klan, compromising with the white police department, compromising with Gore and Clinton, and just becoming a Gore whore. This is a shame. Revolution is the solution. When you look at the universe, brothers and sisters, it is light, light in the universe that leaves the sun and strikes the planets at their imaginary equator, causing them to spin, as with planet Earth, at the terrific speed of 1,037 and a third miles per hour. It is light striking the planet with its rays of energy that causes the planets to move. Again, spin and rotate. We can't have a revolution unless we have light. We can't have a revolution unless we study. But evolvement comes through involvement. You can't just read and make no commitment. You can't just watch a tape and make no commitment. You can't just listen to a tape and make no commitment. You can't just come here and make no commitment. You can't just show up in court for support and make no further commitment. You can't just march and make no commitment. This is Harlem, New York. We should have a mass black power movement right now in Harlem, New York that would create waves all over the planet Earth. Where is that mass black movement? We are scattered, some here, some there, and some over there, instead of a mass black movement. Who come out of the gangster disciples? We have brothers and sisters from the colleges and universities. We have brothers and sisters from the grassroots, from the community. The building of a black united front. I'm here tonight to say again, enough Negro stuff. Complete constructive change is the only solution. And I want to take this opportunity before I close to go over with you, thank you, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense 10-point program and platform. How many would allow me to share that with you? Let me see if the man. We can't read this unless we give credit where credit is due. There would be no 10-point program and platform if there were no Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. There would be no 10-point program if there were no Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And there would be no 10-point program and platform if there were no Bobby Seale and Huey P. Newton. The original Black Panther Party 10-point platform and program
came from the aims and objectives of Parker's Mosiah God. The original 10-point program and platform of the Black Panther Party came from what the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so Bobby and Huey sat down and framed the 10-point program and platform standing on Garvey's shoulders, standing on Elijah's shoulders. And so today, in the 21st century, we have reached back to all of them, and we have created a 21st century document, the new Black Panther Party 10-point program and platform. What the new Black Panthers want, what the new Black Panthers believe. Number one, we want freedom. We want the power to practice self-determination and to determine the destiny of our community and the Black nation. We believe in the spiritual high moral code of our ancestors called Maya Incluso Sapa, and we believe that Black people will not be free until we are able to determine our divine destiny. Maya, truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, balance, order, and reciprocity. The Incluso Sapa, what is it? So let's do this in Kiswahili. That's good. The first one is? What is it? Umoja. The second one is?
Kujichagulia.
The third one is? Ujima. Ujima. The next? Ujima. We have. It's pronounced Ujima. And what's the next one? Nia, Kuumba, and Imani. Unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. The new Black Panther Party is based on Garvey and Elijah, Huey and Bobby, based on Mayotte, and based on what? The Incluso Sapa. We believe that our base should not be in Karl Marx. Our base should not be in any Marxist-Leninist ideology. We believe that our base must not be from someone's little red book, but as Dr. Jay said, it must be paraphrasing him based on our own little black book. Point number two. We want full employment for our people, and we demand the dignity to do for ourselves what we have begged the white man to do for us. We believe that since the white man has kept us deaf, dumb, and blind, and used every dirty trick as COINTELPRO in the book and others to stand in the way of our freedom and independence, that we should be gainfully employed until such time that we can employ and provide for ourselves. We believe further in power in the hands of the people, wealth in the hands of the people, and arms in the hands of the people. Point number three, we want tax exemption and an end to the robbery of the black nation by the capitalists. We want an end to the capitalistic domination of Africa in all of its forms. Imperialism, criminal settler colonialism, neocolonialism, racism, sexism, Zionism, apartheid, and artificial borders. We believe that the wicked racist government, this wicked racist government, has robbed us, and now we are demanding the overdue debt of reparations. A form of reparations was promised 100 years ago, 40 acres and a mule, as restitution for the continued genocide of our people and to, in meaningful measure, repair the damage for the African Holocaust. And we use two Swahili terms, Maafa, which means death or disaster, but it's not being strong enough for us. We register the youth of Maafa when we go deeper into Kiswahili to use the term for the African Holocaust. And that term we use is Maanga Miso. What is it?
Maanga Miso.
What is it?
Maanga Miso.
And Maanga Miso doesn't let the white man off the hook. Maiafa means death. Maiafa means a disaster. It could be any kind of disaster. It could be any form of death. But when you say Maanga Miso in Swahili, you are saying that someone intentionally, willfully, with premeditation and forethought, that their very nature was involved in the murder and the destruction, the complete destruction of another people. So again, we use Maiafa and we use, what's the other one?
Maiafa Miso.
What is it?
Maiafa Miso.
Maiafa Miso. We believe our people should be exempt from all taxation. Everybody ready for that one?
Oh, yeah.
As long as we are deprived of equal justice under the laws of the land, and the overdue reparations debt remains unpaid. We will accept payment in fertile and minerally rich land, precious metals, industry, commerce, and currency. As genocide crimes continue, people's tribunals must be set up to prosecute and to execute. But we don't just want gold for reparations. We don't just want what? We don't just want what? We don't just want silver. We don't want just precious metals. We don't just want some currency, some Benjamins, some paper, some cheese, some cheddar. I know they say cheddar always makes it better. But we don't want to just get some money from the white man. And we don't just want land. Some say land, but settle the debt. Give us the land, give us the money, give us the precious metals, give us the commerce, give us the industry, give it all. But before it's all over, in order for us to be able to repair the debt, there must be an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, a limb for a limb, and a goddamn life for a life. Reparations means that there must be some blood of our enemies spilled.
Yes,
we must have blood paid.
Yes,
Dr. John Henry Clark said that South Africa was taken from us in blood and can only truly be returned to us in blood. The white man's blood must bathe the earth. That's revolution. You thinking you're going to walk in and close a shower curtain, pull a lever, or puncture a pregnant chad or some other fetus and get free of it. Not only must we have all of this for reparations, but there must be the spilling of the white man, the shedding of the white man's blood. How many agree with that? I'm here to tell you that there's medicine. We're talking about reparations. Reparations means to what? Repair the damage. What does it mean?
Repair the damage.
There must be healing in reparations. Is that right?
Yes.
That is just compensation and restitution. So I'm here to tell you that there is medicine in the murder, and there's healing in the killing. There's healing in the killing, and there's medicine in the blood. When this black man is turned loose, when this black man and black woman's mind is free, and when this black man and black woman, even if it's through our babies or our baby's baby's babies, if we are too afraid to do it today, when that's set loose on the white man, when that's set loose, brothers and sisters, we're talking about a real revolution. We're talking about uprooting and overturning everything that gets in our path. We're talking about killing until we're satisfied. Killing until we're whole. Some of you don't want that kind of lecture. You want somebody up talking pretty. all kinds of metaphors and quotations and singing a little song in the middle and having a little hymn and strike up the organ and strike up the band and play the piano. Yeah, if poetry could get us free, we would have been free a long time ago. But we must have more revolutionary poets who will pour revolutionary poetry into the minds and hearts of our people. Rap, revolutionary rap. All of this must be in the minds and hearts of our people. Revolution is the solution. Complete constructive change. The so-called Jews were given reparations. The Japanese were given reparations. The black, the red, and the brown nations must be given reparations. The American white man owes us reparations. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
England owes us reparations.
Yes, sir.
France owes us reparations.
Yes, sir.
Belgium owes us.
Yes, sir.
Europe at all owes us reparations. The Arabs owe us reparations. The so-called Jews owe us reparations. All who have taken part in the African Holocaust and the slaughter of 600 million of our people over the past 6,000 years in general and 400 years in specific, we feel that this is a reasonable and just demand that we make at this time in history. How many believe it is an unreasonable demand? Let's talk about it a minute. Is there anyone who believes it's an unreasonable demand? Point number four, we want decent housing, fit for shelter of human beings, free health care, preventive and maintenance. We want an end to the trafficking of drugs and to the biological and chemical warfare targeted at our people. We believe that since the white landlords will not give decent housing and quality health care to the black community, then the housing, the land, the social, political, and economic institutions should be made into independent Ujamaa New African communal cooperatives so that our community with government, reparations, and aid until we can do for ourselves can build and make drug-free, decent housing with health facilities for its people. How many agree with that? Let me see your hands. Point number five of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense 10-point platform and program. We want education for our people that exposes the true nature of this devilish and decadent American society.
Yes,
we want education that teaches us our true history and history.
Yes, right.
And our role in the present-day society. We believe in an educational system that will give to our people a knowledge of self. If we do not have knowledge of self and our position in society and the world, then we have little chance to properly relate to anything else. How many agree with that? Let me see your hand. Point number six, we want all black men and black women to be exempt from military service. How many agree with that? We believe that black people should not be forced to fight in the military service to defend a racist government that holds us captive and does not protect us. We will not fight and kill other people of color in the world who, like black people, are being victimized by the white racist government of America. We will protect ourselves from the force and violence of the racist police and the racist military by any means necessary. How many agree with that? Let me see your hand. Point number seven, we want an immediate end to police harassment. How many agree? Police brutality, how many agree? And the murder of black people, how many agree? We want an end to black-on-black violence. How many agree?
That's right.
Snitching.
That's
Nessie, how many agree? Christ will come with the oppressor. How many agree? There must come a time when we kill every goddamn snitch that stands in the hand. And that time should be now. That's what they're telling me on the streets. I'm just quoting. It goes on to say, we believe that we can end police brutality in our community by organizing black self-defense groups, black people's militias, black liberation armies that are dedicated to defending our black community from racist, fascist police, military oppression, and brutality. How many agree?
Yeah.
The Second Amendment of White America's Constitution. The Second Amendment of what?
White America's Constitution.
Whose Constitution?
White
America. Whose?
White America.
Some of you don't want to say that.
It's white America's Constitution.
It's a racist, sexist document.
That's right.
It was never intended for you. Never intended for me. The Second Amendment of White America's Constitution.
That's right.
Gives the right to bear arms. We furthermore therefore believe that all black people, how many?
All
black people should unite and form an African United Front,
yes, yes,
and arm themselves for self-defense.
Yes,
how many agree?
Right. Oh, yeah.
How many scared to raise your hand? Point number 8. We want an immediate end to the death penalty. We want what?
End to the death penalty.
And we want freedom for all black men and black women held in international, military, federal, state, county, city, jails, and prisons. How many agree?
Yeah.
We believe that black people and people of color should be released from the many jails and prisons because they have not received a fair and impartial trial. And America is not qualified to judge. Point number 9. We want all black people when brought to trial to be tried in a court by a jury of their peer group. How many agree?
Yes.
Or people from their black community as defined by white law of the Constitution of the United States. We believe that the courts should follow their own law if their nature will allow, as stated in their Constitution of the United States, so that black people will receive fair trials. The 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution gives a man or a woman a right to be tried by a peer group. A peer is a person from a similar economic, social, religious, geographical, environmental, historical, and racial background. To do this, the court will be forced to select a jury from the black community from which the black defendant came. We have been and are being tried by all white juries or people of color with white minds on those juries that have no understanding of the average reasoning person of the black community. Point number 10. You ready for that one?
Yes.
Point number 10. We want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. How many for that? We want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. And as a political objective, we want national liberation in a separate state or territory of our own, here or elsewhere. How many want that? Some of y'all scared to raise your hand. Here, you scared he might ship us out to sea? You scared that Peckerwood might walk in here right now and say, all right, niggas. All you niggas sitting in there with all that African stuff on, listening to that shiny, bald-headed nigga up there. All right, niggas, just give me back everything and hit it belong to me, nigga. Everything. Give me my clothes, nigga. Here we are sitting in here looking at each other buck-necked. Just
They're giving us shoes, nigga. We sitting here buck naked, barefoot, looking at each other. Give me the microphone, nigga. And the microphone jumps right out of my hand. Give me my tables, nigga. Give me my chairs, nigga. Now we all standing up, buck naked, barefoot. No microphone. Give me the lights, nigga. These are my lights. Here we are standing up, butt naked, barefooted. No mic, no chair, no table. In the dark. Is it all right, nigga? Give me the grease out of your head, nigga. Here we are standing here. I lost the grease from our head. All right, nigga, give me my picture. Are you fine? You found it. Coming in there, yeah, you got your damn teeth. He said, nigga, give me the building. Here we are now. Stand it up. Butt naked, no shoes, no chair, no table, no mic, no light. The floor right out from under us. The building right out from behind us. They're all around us, and here we are, outdoors, butt naked, indoors. He said, all right, nigga, give me back. You talking all that talk. All right, buddy. Give me back, nigga. Give me back everything that belongs to me. Nigga, I've taken over Harlem. Nigga, get off the ground, nigga. Here we are, jumping up and down, outdoors, in the dark, butt-naked, barefoot, no place to sit, no table, no light, no mic, no building, no floor. It's all right, nigga. You still, you crazy nigga. You dedicated nigga. You jumping up and down, butt naked and barefoot. I took the mic from you, nigga. I took everything from you, nigga. But you still listen to that nigga. All right, nigga. Give me my language back. Now the nigga standing up in front of you can't even talk to you no more. Here you are thinking, all right, nigga. You thinking in English. Give me back my thoughts out of your head. Here you are, blank-headed nigga. Can't listen no more. Butt naked. Barefooted, in the dark, no building, no floor, no chair, no table, cold as hell. And the crackers say, all right, nigga, I got air rights.
Stop breathing.
I got air rights. You niggas can't breathe my ass. You niggas can't be in my ass space. Brothers and sisters, we need a separate state or territory of our own.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we can buy land,
yes,
and we must buy land,
yes,
so that we can practice nation building.
Yes, sir.
Buy land,
right,
so we can practice nation building. But when we buy land, understand that the deed that we have in our hand that we got from the white man, if you read in the fine print at the bottom, it says the United States government maintains the right of eminent domain, which means that the property costs $100,000. But you wanted to make sure you owned it. You gave the cracker $200,000 just to make sure you owned it. But it says at the bottom of the deed, the United States government maintains the right of eminent domain. So you pay sale to pay all them, pay all of them high real estate taxes, and the white man come in, even though the property only, the land only cost $100,000, you pay $200,000 for it. The cracker can still take it, can he?
Yes,
can he still take it?
Yes.
What about the popular vote and the electoral college vote? Did George Bush win the popular vote?
No, sir.
Did not.
Who won the popular vote?
The people.
Gore, right? Gore won the popular vote. But even though Gore won the popular vote, Bush won the what? Electoral College vote. Hey, I'm not into that. You take your Electoral College. You take your goddamn popular vote. We in the New Black Panther Party believe that the vote should be a revolutionary weapon. That the vote should be a cock hammer. And we only use it on certain issues at certain times for certain candidates. But stop being the white man's nigga, getting in line to vote every time there's a damn election. It should be a revolutionary weapon based on the cock hammer principle. Let me read on. We want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. And as our political objective, we want national liberation in a separate state or territory of our own, here or elsewhere, a liberated zone, New Africa or Africa, and a plebiscite, a what?
A plebiscite.
A vote, a what?
A vote,
a plebiscite to be held throughout the black nation in which only we will be allowed to participate for the purposes of determining our will and divine destiny as a people. Free the land of you mighty nation, you can accomplish what you will, black power. We believe that the black man must focus on all of these 10 points and this program, this platform. And we close with these words. We believe that the white man has proven to be absolutely disagreeable to get along with in peace. How many disagree with that? That the white man has proven to be absolutely disagreeable to get along with in peace. No one has been able to get along with the white man. All the peoples of color have been subjected to the white man's wrath. We believe that his very nature will not allow him to practice true sharing, fairness, equity, and justice. Therefore, to the red man and woman, to the yellow, and to the brown, we say to you, the same rabbit dog that bit you, bit us too. Black power, all power to the people.
Let me come on a couple of points and then we'll open up for the question and answer period.
You say Khalid Muhammad has no program. You say Khalid Muhammad has no platform. That is the 10-point program and platform of the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. It flowed from my heart as I studied Huey and Bobby, as I studied the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, as I studied the aims and objectives of the honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. That's the 10-point program and platform. That's the ideology. That's the doctrine. That's the philosophy. You say, why did you want to restart the new Black Panther Party? Why did you want to start the Panther Party all over again? Because I believe there's a need for the Black Panther Party. What is your position on the original? I see Brother Thutmose is here. Let's all stand. Please give him a strong black hand.
Seeing the elders and hard workers along with Brother Herbert Ferguson in the community.
Yes.
Father Thutmose.
On the original Black Panther Party. Or some of you call them the old Black Panther Party. We don't refer to them as the old Black Panther Party. We refer to them as the original Black Panther Party. We stand on the shoulders of the original Black Panther Party. What is your position on?
Thank you very much. It's a privilege and an honor to be in the white intellectual ghetto of the West. We wanted to do a couple of things before we started. The first is that based on the fact that SNCC, through the articulation of its program by its chairman, has been able to win elections in Georgia, Alabama, Maryland, and by our parents here will win an election in California, 1968 I'm going to run for President of the United States. I just can't make it because I wasn't born in the United States. That's what's been holding me back. We wanted to say that this is a student conference, as it should be, held on a campus, and that we're not ever to be caught up in the intellectual masturbation of the question of black power. That's a function of people who are advertisers that call themselves reporters. Oh, for my members and friends of the press, my self-appointed white critics, I was reading Mr. Bernard Shaw 2 days ago, and I came across a very important quote which I think is most apropos for you. He says, all criticism is a autobiography. Dig yourself. Okay. The philosophers Camus and Sartre raise the question whether or not a man can condemn himself. The black existentialist philosopher who was pragmatic, Franz Fanon, answered the question. He said that man could not. Camus and Sartre does not. We and Smith tend to agree with Camus and Sartre that a man cannot condemn himself. Were he to condemn himself, he would then have to inflict punishment upon himself. An example would be the Nazis. Any prisoner, any of the Nazi prisoners, who admitted after he was caught and incarcerated that he committed crimes, that he killed all the many people that he killed, he committed suicide. The only ones who were able to stay alive were the ones who never admitted that they committed crimes against people. That is, the ones who rationalized that Jews were not human beings and deserved to be killed, or that they were only following orders. On a more immediate scene, the officials and the population, of the white population in Neshoba County, Mississippi, that's where Philadelphia was, could not condemn Rainey, his deputies, and the other 14 men that killed 3 human beings. They could not, because they elected Mr. Rainey to do precisely what he did, and that for them to condemn him would be for them to condemn themselves. In a much larger view, Smith says that white America cannot condemn herself, and since we are liberal, we have done it. You stand condemned. Now, a number of things that arises from that answer of how do you condemn yourselves. Seems to me that the institutions that function in this country are clearly racist, and that they're built upon racism. And the question then is, how can black people inside of this country move? And then how can white people who say they're not a part of those institutions begin to move? And how then do we begin to clear away the obstacles that we have in this society that make us live like human beings? How can we begin to build institutions that will allow people to relate with each other as human beings? This country has never done that, especially around the country of white and black. Now, several people have been upset because we said that integration was irrelevant when initiated by blacks, and that in fact it was a subterfuge, an insidious subterfuge, for the maintenance of white supremacy. Now, we maintain that in the past 6 years or so, this country has been feeding us a thalidomide drug of integration, and that some Negroes have been walking down a dreaming street talking about sitting next to white people, and that that does not begin to solve the problem. That when we went to Mississippi, we did not go to sit next to Ross Barnett. We did not go to sit next to Jim Clark. We went to get them out of our way. And that people ought to understand that. That we were never fighting for the right to integrate. We were fighting against white supremacy. Now then, in order to understand white supremacy, we must dismiss the fallacious notion that white people can give anybody their freedom. No man can give anybody his freedom. A man is born free. You may enslave a man after he is born free. And that is in fact what this country does. It enslaves black people after they're born. So that the only act that white people can do is to stop denying black people their freedom. That is, they must stop denying freedom. They never give it to anyone. Now, we want to take that to its logical extension so that we could understand then what its relevancy would be in terms of new civil rights bills. I maintain that every civil rights bill in this country was passed for white people, not for black people. For example, I am black. I know that. I also know that while I am black, I am a human being. And therefore, I have the right to go into any public place. White people didn't know that. Every time I tried to go into a place, they stopped me. So some boys had to write a bill to tell that white man he's a human being. Don't stop him. That bill was for that white man, not for me. I knew it all the time. I knew that I could vote, and if that wasn't a privilege, it was my right. Every time I tried, I was shot, killed, or jailed, beaten, or economically deprived. So somebody had to write a bill for white people to tell them, when a black man comes to vote, don't bother him. That bill, again, was for white people, not for black people. So that when you talk about open occupancy, I know I can live any place I want to live. It is white people across this country who are incapable of allowing me to live where I want to live. You need a civil right there, not me. I know I can live where I want to live. So that the failure to pass a civil rights bill isn't because of black power, isn't because of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, is not because of the rebellions that are occurring in the major cities. It is incapability of whites to deal with their own problems inside their own communities. That is the problem of the failure of the civil rights bill. And so in a larger sense, we must then ask, how is it that black people move, and what do we do? But the question in the greater sense is, how can white people, who are the majority, and who are responsible for making democracy work, make it work? They have miserably failed to this point. They have never made democracy work, be it inside the United States, Vietnam, South Africa, the Philippines, South America, Puerto Rico, wherever America has been. She has not been able to make democracy work. So that in a larger sense, we not only condemn the country for what is done internally, but we must condemn it for what it does externally. We see this country trying to rule the world, and someone must stand up and start articulating that this country is not God and cannot rule the world. Now then, before we move on, we ought to develop the white supremacy attitudes that we're either conscious or subconscious of, and how they run rampant through the society today. For example, the missionaries were sent to Africa. They went with the attitude that blacks were automatically inferior. As a matter of fact, the first act the missionaries did, you know, when they get to Africa, was to make us cover up our bodies because they said it got them excited. We couldn't go bare-breasted anymore because they got excited. Now, when the missionaries came to civilize us because we were uncivilized, educate us because we were uneducated, and give us some literate studies because we were illiterate, they charged a price. The missionaries came with the Bible, and we had the land. When they left, they had the land, and we still have the Bible. And that has been the rationalization for Western civilization as it moves across the world and stealing and plundering and raping everybody in its path. Their one rationalization is that the rest of the world is uncivilized, and they are in fact civilized, and they are uncivilized. And that runs on today, you see, because what we have today is that we have what we call modern-day peace missionaries, and they come into our ghettos, and they head start upward lift, bootstrap, and upward bound us into white society. because they don't want to face the real problem, which is a man is poor for one reason and one reason only, because he does not have money, period. If you want to get rid of poverty, you give people money, period. And you ought not to tell me about people who don't work and you can't give people money without working, because if that were true, you'd have to start stopping Rockefeller, Bobby Kennedy, Lyndon B. Johnson, Lady Bird Johnson, the whole Standard Oil, the Gulf Club, all of them. Including probably a large number of the Board of Trustees of this university. So the question then clearly is not whether or not one can work, it's who has power. Who has power to make his or her act legitimate. That is all. And at this country, that power is invested in the hands of white people, and they make their act legitimate. It is now, therefore, for black people to make our act legitimate. Now, we are engaged in a psychological struggle in this country, and that is whether or not black people will have the right to use the words they want to use without white people giving their sanction to it. And we maintain, whether they like it or not, we going to use the word black power and let them address themselves to that. But that we are not going to wait for white people to sanction black power. We're tired waiting. Every time black people move in this country, they're forced to defend their position before they move. It's time that the people who are supposed to be defending their position do that. That's white people. They ought to start defending themselves as to why they have oppressed and exploited us. Now, it is clear that when this country started to move in terms of slavery, the reason for a man being picked as a slave was one reason, because of the color of his skin. If one was black, one was automatically inferior, inhuman, and therefore fit for slavery. So that the question of whether or not we are individually suppressed is nonsensical, and it's a downright lie. We are oppressed as a group because we are black. Not because we're lazy, not because we're apathetic, not because we're stupid, not because we smell, not because we eat watermelon and have good rhythm. Right? We are oppressed because we are black. And in order to get out of that oppression, one must wield the group power that one has, not the individual power, which this country then sets the criteria under which a man may come into it. That is what is called in this country as integration. You do what I tell you to do, and then we'll let you sit at the table with us. And as we are saying, that we have to be opposed to that. We must now set a criteria, and that if there is going to be any integration, it's going to be a two-way thing. If you believe in integration, you can come live in what? You can send your children to the ghetto schools. Let's talk about that. If you believe in integration, then we're going to start adopting us some white people to live in our neighborhood. So it is clear that the question is not one of integration or segregation. Integration is a man's ability to want to move in there by himself. If someone wants to live in a white neighborhood and he is black, that is his choice. It should be his right. It is not, because white people will not allow him. So vice versa, if a black man wants to live in the slum, that should be his right. Black people will let him. That is the difference. And it's a difference on which this country makes a number of logical mistakes when they begin to try to criticize the program articulated by SNCC. Now, we maintain that we cannot be afford to be concerned about 6% of the children in this country, black children who you allow to come into white schools. We have 94% who still live in shacks. We are going to be concerned about those 94%. You ought to be concerned about them too. The question is, are we willing to be concerned about those 94%? Are we willing to be concerned about the black people who will never get to Berkeley, who will never get to Harvard, and cannot get an education, so you'll never get a chance to rub shoulders with them and say, well, he's almost as good as we are. He's not like the others. The question is, how can white society begin to move to see black people as human beings? I am black, therefore I am. Not that I am black and I must go to college to prove myself. I am black, therefore I am. And don't deprive me of anything and say to me that you must go to college before you gain access to X, Y, and Z. It is only a rationalization for one's oppression. The political parties in this country do not meet the needs of people on a day-to-day basis. The question is, how can we build new political institutions that will become the political expressions of people on a day-to-day basis? The question is, how can you build political institutions that will begin to meet the needs of Oakland, California? And the needs of Oakland, California is not 1,000 policemen with submachine guns. They don't need that. They need that least of all. The question is, how can we build institutions where those people can begin to function on a day-to-day basis, where they can get decent jobs, where they can get decent houses, and where they can begin to participate in the policy and major decisions that affect their lives? That's what they need, not Gestapo troops, because this is not 1942, and if you play like Nazis, we're playing back with you this time around. Get hip to that. The question then is, how can white people move to start making the major institutions that they have in this country function the way it is supposed to function? That is the real question. And can white people move inside their own community and start tearing down racism where in fact it does exist? Where it exists. It is you who live in Cicero and stop us from living there. It is white people who stop us from moving into Grenada. It is white people who make sure that we live in the ghettos of this country. It is white institutions that do that. They must change in order for America to really live on a basic principle of human relationships. A new society must be born. Racism must die, and the economic exploitation of this country and non-white people around the world must also die. Must also die. Now, there are several programs that we have in the South, most in poor white communities. We're trying to organize poor whites on a base where they can begin to move around the question of economic exploitation and political disfranchisement. We know we've heard the theory several times, but few people are willing to go into there. The question is, can the white activists not try to be a Pepsi generation who comes alive in the black community, but can he be a man who's willing to move into the white community and start organizing where the organization is needed? Can he do that? The question is, can the white society or the white activists disassociate himself with two clowns who waste time parrying with each other rather than talking about the problems that are facing people in this state? Can you disassociate yourself with those clowns and start to build new institutions that will eliminate all idiots like them? And the question is, if we are going to do that, when and where do we start and how do we start? We maintain that we must start doing that inside the white community. Our own personal position politically is that we don't think the Democratic Party represents the needs of black people. We know it don't. And that if in fact white people really believe that, the question is if they're going to move inside that structure, how are they going to organize around a concept of whiteness based on true brotherhood and based on stopping exploitation, economic exploitation, so that there will be a coalition base for black people to hook up with? You cannot form a coalition based on national sentiment. That is not a coalition. If you need a coalition to redress itself to real changes in this country, white people must start building those institutions inside the white community. And that is the real question, I think, facing the white activists today. Can they, in fact, begin to move into and tear down the institutions which have put us all in the trick bag that we've been into for the last 100 years? I don't think that we should follow what many people say, that we should fight to be leaders of tomorrow. Frederick Douglass said that the youth should fight to be leaders today. And God knows we need to be leaders today, because the men who run this country are sick. So that can we, on a larger sense, begin now today to start building those institutions and to fight to articulate our position, to fight to be able to control our universities. We need to be able to do that, and to fight to control the basic institutions which perpetuate racism by destroying them and building new ones. That's the real question that faces us today. And it is a dilemma, because most of us do not know how to work, and that the excuse that most white activists find is to run into the black community. Now, we've maintained that we cannot have white people working in the black community, and we've made it on a psychological ground. The fact is that all black people often question whether or not they are equal to whites, because every time they start to do something, white people are around showing them how to do it. If we are going to eliminate that for the generation that comes after us, then black people must be seen in positions of power doing and articulating for themselves. For themselves. That is not to say that one is a reverse racist. It is to say that one is moving on a healthy ground. It is to say what the philosopher thought says. One is becoming an anti-racist racist. And this country can't understand that. Maybe it's because it's all caught up in racism. But I think what you have in SNCC is an anti-racist racism. We are against racists. Now, if everybody who is white see themselves as a racist and then see us against them, they're speaking from their own guilt position, not ours. Now then, the question is, how can we move to begin to change what's going on in this country? I maintain, as we have in SNCC, that the war in Vietnam is an illegal and immoral war. And the question is, what can we do to stop that war? What can we do to stop the people who, in the name of our country, are killing babies, women, and children? What can we do to stop that? And I maintain that we do not have the power in our hands to change that institution, to begin to recreate it so that they learn to leave the Vietnamese people alone, and that the only power we have is the power to say, hell no to the draft. We have to say. We have to say to ourselves that there is a higher law than the law of a racist named McNamara. There is a higher law than the law of a fool named Russ. There is a higher law, the law of a buffoon named Johnson. It's the law of each of us. The law of each of us. It is the law of each of us saying that we will not allow them to make us hired killers. We will stand packed. We will not kill anybody that they say kill. And if we decide to kill, we're going to decide who we going to kill. And this country will only be able to stop the war in Vietnam when the young men who are made to fight it begin to say, hell no, we ain't going. Now then, as a failure, because the peace movement has been unable to get off the college campuses where everybody has a 2F and not going to get drafted anyway. And the question is, how can you move out of that into the white ghettos of this country and begin to articulate a position for those white students who do not want to go? We cannot do that. It is something sometimes ironic that many of the peace groups have beginning to call us violent and say they can no longer support us, and we are in fact the most militant organization, peace or civil rights or human rights, against the war in Vietnam in this country today. There isn't one organization that has begun to meet our stance on the war in Vietnam. Because we not only say we are against the war in Vietnam, we are against the draft. We are against the draft. No man has the right to take a man for 2 years and train him to be a killer. A man should decide what he wants to do with his life. So the question then is, it becomes crystal clear for black people, because we can easily say that anyone fighting in the war in Vietnam is nothing but a black mercenary, and that's all he is. Anytime a black man leaves a country where he can't vote to supposedly deliver the vote to somebody else, he's a black mercenary. Anytime a black man leaves this country, gets shot in Vietnam on foreign ground, and returns home, and you won't give him a burial in his own homeland, he's a black mercenary. The black mercenary. And that even if I were to believe the lies of Johnson, if I were to believe his lies that we're fighting to give democracy to the people in Vietnam, as a black man living in this country, I wouldn't fight to give this to anybody. I wouldn't give it to anybody. So that we have to use our bodies and our minds in the only way that we see fit. We must begin, like the philosopher Camus, to come alive by saying no. That is the only act in which we begin to come alive. And we have to say no to many, many things in this country. This country is a nation of thieves. It has stole everything it has, beginning with black people. Beginning with black people. And that the question is, how can we move to start changing this country from what it is, a nation of thieves? This country cannot justify any longer its existence. We have become the policemen of the world. The Marines are at our disposal to always bring democracy. And if the Vietnamese don't want democracy, well, damn it, we'll just wipe them the hell out, because they don't deserve to live if they won't have our way of life. There is then, in a larger sense, what do you do on your university campus? Do you raise questions about the 100 black students who were kicked off campus a couple of weeks ago? 800? 800? And how does that question begin to move? Do you begin to relate people outside of the ivory tower on a university wall? Do you think you're capable of building those human relationships as the country now stands? You're fooling yourself. It is impossible for white and black people to talk about building a relationship based on humanity when the country is the way it is, when the institutions are clearly against us. We've taken all the myths of this country and we found them to be nothing but downright lies. This country told us that if we worked hard, we would succeed. And if that were true, we would own this country lock, stock, and barrel. Lock, stock, and barrel. It is we who have picked the cotton for nothing. It is we who are the maids in the kitchens of liberal white people. It is we who are the janitors, the porters, the elevator men. The we who sweep up your college floors. Yes, it is we who are the hardest workers and the lowest paid. And the lowest paid. And that it is nonsensical for people to start talking about human relationships until they're willing to build new institutions. Black people are economically insecure. White liberals are economically secure. Can you begin to build an economic coalition? Are the liberals willing to share their salaries with the economically insecure black people they so much love? Then if you're not, are you willing to start building new institutions that will provide economic security for black people? That's the question we want to deal with. That's the question we want to deal with. We have to seriously examine the histories that we have been told. But we have something more to do than that. American students are perhaps the most politically unsophisticated students in the world. In the world. In the world. Across every country in this world, while we were growing up, students were leading the major revolutions of their countries. We have not been able to do that. They have been politically aware of their existence. In South America, our neighbors down below the border have one every 24 hours just to remind us that they're politically aware. And that we have been unable to grasp it because we've always moved in a field of morality and love while people have been politically jiving with our lives. And the question is, how do we now move politically and stop trying to move morally? You can't move morally against a man like Brown and Reagan. You've got to move politically to cut him out of business. You've got to move politically. You can't move morally against Lyndon Baines Johnson because he is an immoral man. He doesn't know what it's all about. So you've got to move politically. You've got to move politically. And if we have to begin to develop a political sophistication, which is not to be a parrot. The two-party system is the best party in the world. Eh? There is a difference between being a parrot and being politically sophisticated. We have to raise questions about whether or not we do need new types of political institutions in this country, and we in SNCC maintain that we need them now. We need new political institutions in this country. And anytime Lyndon Baines Johnson can head a party which has in it Bobby Kennedy, Wayne North, Eastland, Wallace, and all those others supposed to be liberal cats, there's something wrong with that party. They're moving politically, not morally. And that if that party refuses to see black people from Mississippi and goes ahead and sees racists like Eastland and his clique, it is clear to me that they're moving politically and that one cannot begin to talk morality to people like that. We must begin to think politically and see if we can have the power to impose and keep the moral values that we hold high. We must question the values of this society. And I maintain that black people are the best people to do that because we have been excluded from that society. And the question is, we ought to think whether or not we want to become a part of that society. That's what we want to do. And that is precisely what it seems to me that the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee is doing. We are raising questions about this country. I do not want to be a part of the American pie. The American pie means raping South Africa, beating Vietnam, beating South America, raping the Philippines, raping every country you've been. I don't want any of your blood money. I don't want it. Don't want to be part of that system. And the question is, how do we raise those questions? How do we raise them as activists? How do we begin to raise them? We have grown up and we are the generation that has found this country to be a world power, that has found this country to be the wealthiest country in the world. We must question how she got her wealth. That's what we're questioning. And whether or not we want this country to continue being the wealthiest country in the world at the price of raping everybody else across the world. That's what we must begin to question. And that because black people are saying we do not now want to become a part of you, we are called reverse racist. Ain't that a guess? Now then, we want to touch on nonviolence. Because we see that again as the failure of white society to make nonviolence work. I was always surprised that Quakers who came to Alabama and counseled me to be nonviolent, but didn't have the guts to start talking to James Clark to be nonviolent. That is where nonviolence needs to be preached, to Jim Clark, not to black people. They have already been nonviolent too many years. The question is, can white people conduct their nonviolent schools in Cicero, where they belong to be conducted, not among black people in Mississippi? Can they conduct it among the white people in Grenada, 6'2" men who kick little black children? Can you conduct nonviolent schools there? That is the question that we must raise, not that you conduct nonviolence among black people. Can you name me one black man today who's killed anybody white and is still alive? Even after a rebellion, when some black brothers throw some bricks and bottles, 10,000 of them have to pay the crime. Because when the white policeman comes in, anybody who's black is arrested, because we all look alike. So that we have to raise those questions. We, the youth of this country, must begin to raise those questions. And we must begin to move to build new institutions that's going to speak to the needs of people who need it. We are going to have to speak to change the foreign policy of this country. One of the problems with the peace movement is that it's just too caught up in Vietnam, and that if we pulled out the troops from Vietnam this week, next week you'd have to get another peace movement for Santo Domingo. And the question is, how do you begin to articulate need to change the foreign policy of this country? A policy that is decided upon rape, a policy on which decisions are made upon getting economic wealth at any price. At any price. Now, we articulate that we therefore have to hook up with black people around the world, and that hookup is not only psychological, but becomes very real. If South America today were to rebel and black people were to shoot the hell out of all the white people there, as they should, then San Andreas would crumble tomorrow. If South Africa were to go today, Chase Manhattan Bank would crumble tomorrow. If Zimbabwe, which is called Rhodesia by white people, were to go tomorrow, General Electric would cave in on the East Coast. The question is, how do we stop those institutions that are so willing to fight against communist aggression but closes their eye to racist oppression? That is the question that you raise. Can this country do that? Now, many people talk about pulling out of Vietnam. What will happen? If we pull out of Vietnam, there will be one less aggressor in there. We won't be there. And so the question is, how do we articulate those positions? And we cannot begin to articulate them from the same assumptions that the people in the country speak, because they speak from different assumptions than I assume what the youth in this country are talking about. That we're not talking about a policy or aid or sending Peace Corps people in to teach people how to read and write and build houses while we steal their raw materials from them. Is that what we're talking about? Because that's all we do. Well, underdeveloped countries need information on how to become industrialized so they can keep their raw materials where they have it, produce them, and sell it to this country for the price it's supposed to pay. Not that we produce it and sell it back to them for a profit and keep sending our modern-day missionaries in, calling them the sons of Kennedy. And that if the youth are going to participate in that program, how do you raise those questions where you begin to control that Peace Corps program? How do you begin to raise them? How do we raise the questions of poverty? The assumption for this country is that if someone is poor, they are poor because of their own individual blight. Oh, they weren't born on the right side of town. They had too many children. They went in the army too early. Their father was a drunk. They didn't care about school. They made a mistake. That's a lot of nonsense. Poverty is well calculated in this country. It is well calculated. And the reason why the poverty program won't work is because the calculators of poverty are administering it. That's why it won't work.
Two centuries ago, when the United States was a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the conditions prevailed in the nation and the assumption on which its foundation were built was such that they ensured that the United States would come to its maturity under circumstances which mean that for a substantial proportion of citizens, life is nothing more than a living bed. Liberty is nothing more than a prison of poverty. And the only happiness we enjoy is laughing to keep from crying. We find evidence for majority freedom and minority oppression in the fact that even while the early settlers were proclaiming their freedom, they were deliberately and systematically depriving Africans of their freedom. These basic contradictions were further aggravated by acts which implicitly admitted that the majority was wrong, but unwilling to do right. Thus, when the Declaration of Independence was drafted, the Founding Fathers struck all mentions of the slave trade. Thus, when the United States Constitution was drafted, the Founding Fathers considered the slaves as equivalent to 3/5 of a man. Thus, when the slaves were emancipated, the descendants of the Founding Fathers compromised that freedom to gain further territory. These compromises were so basic to the thinking of the forebears that legal attempts to correct the contradiction through constitutional amendments and civil rights laws have produced no change in our conditions, and we are still a people without equal protection and due process of the law. We recognize then that the oppressive acts of the United States government, when contrasted with the testaments of freedom, carries forward a basic contradiction found in all the legal documents upon which this government is based. Generation after generation of the majority group have been born, they have worked, and they have seen the fruits of their labor in the life, liberty, and happiness of their children and grandchildren. Generation after generation of black people in America have been born, they have worked, and they have seen the fruits of their labor in the life, liberty, and happiness of the children and grandchildren of the oppressor. While their own descendants wallow in the mire of poverty and deprivation, holding only to the hope of change in the future. The hope has sustained us for many years and has led us to suffer the administration of a corrupt government. At the dawn of the 20th century, this hope led us to formulate a civil rights movement in the belief that the government would eventually fulfill its promise to black people. We did not recognize, however, that any attempt to complete the promise of the 18th century revolution in the framework of a 20th century government, economy, and society was doomed to failure. The descendants of that small company of original settlers of this land are not among the common people of today. They have become a small ruling class in control of a worldwide economic system. The Constitution set up by their ancestors to serve the people no longer serves the people, for the people have changed. The people of the 18th century have become the ruling circle of the 20th century, and the people of the 20th century are the descendants of the slaves and the dispossessed of the 18th century. The Constitution set up to serve the people of the 18th century now serves the ruling circle of the 20th century. And the people of today stand wanting for a foundation for their own life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. The civil rights movement has not produced this foundation, and it cannot produce this foundation because of the nature of the United States society and economy. The vision of the civil rights movement is to achieve goals which have been altered by 200 years of change. Thus, the civil rights movement and similar movements have produced no foundation for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They have produced humiliating programs of welfare and unemployment compensation, programs with sufficient form to deceive the people, but with insufficient substance to change the fundamental distribution of power and resources in this country. Moreover, while the movements attempt to get minorities into the system, we note that the government continues this pattern of practice which contradicts its democratic rhetoric. We recognize now that we see history repeating itself, but on an international as well as a national scale. The relentless drive for profit led this nation to colonize, oppress, and exploit its minorities. This profit drive took this nation from democratic capitalism and underdevelopment to bureaucratic capitalism and overdevelopment. Now we see that this small ruling circle continues this profit drive by oppressing and exploiting the people of the world. Throughout the world, the proletariat is crushed so that the profits of the American industry can continue to flow. Throughout the world, the freedom struggle of oppressed people are opposed by this government because they are a threat to the bureaucratic capitalism of the United States of America. We gather here to let it be known at home and abroad that a nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness has in its maturity become an imperialistic power dedicated to death, oppression, and the pursuit of profit. We will not be deceived by so many of our fellow men. We will not be blinded by small changes in form which lack any change in substance of the imperialist expansion. Our suffering has been too long. Our sacrifices have been too great. And our human dignity is too strong for us to be prudent any longer. The Black Panther Party calls for freedom and power to determine our destiny. The Black Panther Party calls for full employment for all our people. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to the capitalistic exploitation of our community. The Black Panther Party calls for decent housing for all people. The Black Panther Party calls for an educational system that will tell us the true facts about this decadent society. The Black Panther Party calls for exemption from the military service. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to police brutality. The Black Panther Party calls for freedom for all political prisoners and prisoners of war. The Black Panther Party calls for trials by members of our peer when we're brought to the court, and justice. The Black Panther Party calls for a United Nations plebiscite to determine the will of black people and to their national destiny. Black people and oppressed people in general have lost faith in the leaders of America, in the government of America, and the very structure of the American government, that is the Constitution, its legal foundation. This loss of faith is based upon the overwhelming evidence that this government will not live according to the Constitution because the Constitution is not designed for its people. For this reason, we assemble a constitutional convention to consider rational and positive alternatives. Alternatives which will place the emphasis on the common man. Alternatives which will bring about a new economic system in which the rewards as well as the work will be equally shared by all people, a socialist framework. Alternatives which will guarantee that within the socialist framework, all groups will be adequately represented in decision-making and administration which affect their lives. Alternatives which will guarantee that all men will obtain their full manhood rights, that they will be able to live, be free, and seek out those goals which will give them respect and dignity while permitting the same privileges for every other man, regardless of his condition or status. The sacredness of man and of the human spirit requires that human dignity and integrity ought to always be respected by every other man. We will settle for nothing less, for at this point in history, anything less is but a living debt. It is a fact that we will get change. We will transform the society. It is up to the oppressor to decide whether this will be a peaceful thing or we will use whatever means that is effective, regardless of the consequence, because it is our conclusion and our principle that a slave who dies a natural death will not balance two dead flies on the scales of eternity. human if we have to level the face of the earth. So I would like to say that we are one tonight. Let us be one in the future. Power to all of the people.
Been on the side of the colonizers of England, but I'm pleased with the answer, and I agree with you. The only revolution that is worth
California Penal Code Section 1202 through 1227.